Welcome back to EV News Daily and a bonus podcast looking at the implications of one of the big deals that's happened in the electric vehicle world, what it means for the cars that you and I can buy, the prices that we'll pay, the tech that we get for that, and whether this is a blueprint for others to do the same. Does the Stellantis and Leap Motor deal rewrite the EV rulebook? Now, I ask that because today, those new models went on sale. So let's get into it. I think there's a lot to talk about with not only the cars, but also what does it mean for the industry, for electric vehicles in general? Could this be a way of circumnavigating the tariffs, not only in Europe, but in the US and Canada as well? And how are the other car makers at the minute looking to get around those tariffs or embrace them and argue against them? Or could they be copying a deal like this? Well, that's why I made this a bonus podcast today, because it's probably going to be 5, 8, 10 minutes long, maybe, by the time we get into all the details. And that's quite a lot of time on the regular podcast to devote to a single topic. And so let's get into it. Leap Motor is a Chinese EV manufacturer recently embarking on their journey to expand their footprint in the European market. Today, introducing two of their prominent models, the C10 and the T3, and we'll get into what they are. The T3 is a little A-segment vehicle, and the C10 is more of an SUV, and I'll talk about those vehicles in a moment and look at the specs. It's a significant move. Yesterday in Italy was the formal launch. There was a media test drive event in Milan yesterday, and that's when this news was announced that from today, those vehicles can be ordered. What it means for other Chinese companies is really interesting. Leap Motor's own expansion strategy. We've known that they're going to be launching in the markets 13 European nations: France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Portugal, Romania, Spain, and Switzerland. Oh, and the UK. So not an EU member state, but they are going to launch right-hand drive models here. Now, the expansion, thanks to a 51-49 joint venture with Stellantis, the global automotive giant. It's based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, but of course it is a Chinese company. It's a big step in Leap Motor becoming a well-known name outside of China. This partnership not only allows Leap Motor's immediate entry into the European market, but sets sights on further expansion. They indicated yesterday that they would be expanding into the Asia-Pacific region, the Middle East, Africa, and South America, all by the end of this year. Let's talk about the cars then. The T03, the Leap Motor T3. Positioned as an A-segment vehicle, a compact design tailored for urban settings, but still with loads of interior space, they say the space of a B-segment vehicle, because this is a custom-designed EV. So the battery size is 37.3 kilowatt-hours, not the biggest in the world, but that's enough for approximately 165 miles or 265 kilometers. The starting price is 18,900 euros. And we've also got UK pricing as well, which is dead handy. In the UK market, the T3 starts at £16,000 or 15,995. So it's a 16 grand vehicle or a 19,000 euro vehicle. The cheapest EV to buy, second only the Dacia Spring. So I guess I should say it's the second cheapest. Brand new EV. Differences in the feature set might mean that even though this is a little more than the Dacia Spring, the T3 might actually be more attractive. It's got a 10-inch touchscreen, which the Dacia doesn't have. You're meant to use your mobile phone. Adaptive cruise, lane keep assist, and blind spot monitoring. Don't get that on the base level Dacia Spring. Performance-wise, 94 horsepower motor, 12.7 seconds 0 to 62. So, but that's not the point of this vehicle. Let's always talk about use case. That's still significantly better. That's a third more than the 64 horsepower of the Dacia Spring. Now, the other car they unveiled yesterday was the Leap Motor C10. You would call this a family SUV built on the Leap 3 platform, the Leap 3.0 platform. Great specs, obviously a different price point though. A big, big battery, 69.9 kilowatt hours. WLTP on this yesterday was noted at 261 miles or 420 kilometers. And this will be in Stellantis showrooms from October. The C10 will be available from a starting price of 36,400 euros. The UK pricing should be a little bit less, but it's not. It's exactly the same, which is interesting. But either way, prominent features include a custom-built EV platform. They call it cell-to-chassis integration, integrated cells, big intelligent cockpit, 10.25-inch digital instrument display, and a 14.6-inch infotainment touchscreen, 215 horsepower, 7.5 seconds 0 to 62 miles an hour, that's 100 kph, and they say DC fast charging of 80% in 30 minutes, but the number they gave was 30 to 80. Please only give us 10 to 80%, car makers. Please, please. Now, let me talk about what the joint venture signifies, because if you haven't been keeping abreast of the news, this is the important bit. The 51-49 JV between Leapmotor and Stellantis signals more than simply a convenient way to enter the market, although it certainly is. This is a European entity. This is, like I say, an Amsterdam-based company. Stellantis has invested in Leapmotor, but this is a new entity, as it were. They call it a strategic alliance, and it works out. It's a real win-win, and maybe win-win-win for both companies and for you and I. So first of all, they're going to leverage Stellantis' global network of dealerships, and they're going to leverage the Leapmotor EV platforms to start selling their vehicles outside of China in a really, really quick way that gets them an instant foothold. Leapmotor's full stack in-house development capabilities all tied together with everything Stellantis knows from all the European brands they've got, marketing, commercial acumen, and how to scale up and penetrate those markets that they're already operating in at big scale. So this all started with Stellantis investing 1.5 billion euros to get 21% of Leapmotor's shares. That was an endorsement. It underscored the confidence in Leapmotor by one of the big global car makers. And they are going to establish, as I mentioned, 350 sales points by the end of this year. But that's 500 sales points by the end of 2026. Important that you walk into a Stellantis dealership, maybe you were going to go buy a name that you know and love, and you see Leapmotor there. And of course, there'll be service as well. And it's a bit like happened with MG. In my experience, MG in the UK, dealerships everywhere, lots of confidence. If they go wrong, somewhere close to you for it to go back to. Now, I mentioned that this is a good way of circumnavigating the tariffs. Let me get into that. The production strategy. Manufacturing plans for the T3 means that they will build the vehicle in Poland at the Stellantis facility that they already have in Poland. That production starts in Q4 this year. Units destined for the UK, though, the right-hand drive versions, will be a China import, but that's okay because the UK isn't following the European Union on the Chinese tariffs anyway. We're going to do our own thing, which is, I think, to have a few more hugs with China than put tariffs in place. The use of the Stellantis facility, the factory, helps mitigate those tariff implications because, hey, we're not a Chinese company, we're a European company, 49% owned by the Chinese, but we're a European company building them in Europe, no tariffs, thank you very much. Have your nice, cheap 15, 16 grand brand new electric vehicle. So what does it mean for the global expansion of these Chinese names? There's no doubt that China, at every possible level, local, regional, state level, incentives, all of that, let's not get into that now. They have got world dominance firmly in the middle of their dartboard. Well, Leapmotor's entry into Europe, just part of the rising influence of Chinese EV manufacturers on a global stage. And by being really seamless and integrating with Stellantis and the network they've got already of delivering the vehicle, selling, servicing, all that kind of stuff, I think Leapmotor demonstrates the potential for Chinese EV technology to make its way into traditional markets and offer new competitive benchmarks in things like affordability and things like innovation and having a really rich feature set, as they say. But in other words, tons of features on the options list or just standard list at a very, very low price. It's a new name, so there is going to be that hurdle to get over. I think this positions Leapmotor as being a very attractive option over the other Chinese names. And of course, all the Chinese names are all about technological prowess, but they are particularly highlighting some of their own advancements what they've called the 8-in-1 electric drive system, the cell-to-pack technology, the pure EV architecture, the commitment to only making EVs. And with these first two vehicles, the T3 and the C10, and there's more to come, by the way, I think that puts pressure on the other car makers to reevaluate certainly the vehicles they sell here. And I think it puts pressure on the other car makers to evaluate the pricing. You've got some very low prices already that I've mentioned. MG, the MG4, MG5, MGZS EV, that's being replaced with a new one as well. All entered the market on price. Ended up being pretty good. Like the test drives of the MG4, rear wheel drive, tons of power. They all said, actually, this is a pretty good chassis. Like, actually, this is, we went in, you know, these hard-nosed automotive hacks, these car reviewers, going, you know what, the MG4 is pretty good. It's got some tweaks that need to be done with the software and things like that, where it's that last 1 or 2% is missing. You can tell it's a Chinese car, but you've really got a look for those. Let's talk a little bit about how the competitors might shape up. And I'll do that in a moment, and we'll take a quick break. Stick around, back in a mo.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Oh, welcome back to the podcast. Let's talk about the implication for the cars that you and I might be buying in the future that have a Chinese name on. A comparison of their approach with the others. So, we know that the Stellantis investment in Leap Motor to take a 21% stake led to this joint venture, which is called Leap Motor International. Stellantis is the majority, the 51%. Therefore, it's not a Chinese company. It gets around those tariffs. You can import the vehicles from China if you need to for the UK. Like I say, the right-hand drive, the plans to manufacture the cheaper cars, though, in Poland, in Europe, and they can target very, very quickly a rollout of the showrooms and servicing quicker than any other Chinese brand can possibly dream of, even with doing deals with big distributors in those various countries. Launches in 9 European countries initially, like I say, starting at €19,000. Other Chinese car makers, let's look at BYD. They currently export their vehicles from China to Europe. They plan to build their own factory in Hungary for local production. They already sell in multiple countries, including Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, and others. They're aiming for 10% of all EV sales in Europe by 2030. BYD, they do target both consumer and fleet markets. NIO. NIO plans a big expansion over here. Firstly, they want to enter the UK market properly in 2025, considering local production if UK sales reach a certain level. Already established in several European countries. They have a smart driving technology center in Germany. They have a battery swap station factory in Hungary. I need to check whether that is operational already or just being built. But they emphasize battery swap stations, which are in many European countries already. And they have sub-brands like Onvo and Firefly for the different price points and different markets. There's others like Zeekr that are entering the European market. Again, sometimes with plug-in hybrids and aiming for a full EV rollout at some point, but none of them can dream of the scale that Leap Motor have overnight. And so here's my question to you at the end of this podcast. Do you think this opens the door for other deals like this? Could other global car makers say, hey, Chinese car maker, hey, BYD, NIO, XPeng, Zeekr, and more, do you fancy a joint venture where we'll be the 51% partnership, therefore it's not a Chinese company? Oh, and by the way, we have a European car plant or two that has some excess production. You can make your vehicles there, therefore they're European cars. And there's going to be no tariffs because they're using Chinese technology, because the European tariffs are not like the news we heard this week where the United States wants to ban anything Chinese in a car, you know, a line of software code, a microcontroller that moves your seat forwards and backwards from 2027 and then 2030 with hardware. The US wants to get rid of anything Chinese from cars. And so that's going to be a different way of keeping the Chinese out. That's not what the European Union have done. They haven't gone to that length. They've gone with a more traditional tariff structure for Chinese companies
So what about the joint venture route? Do you think more will do what Leapmotor has done? They've certainly taken a march. They've certainly got a first mover advantage. I think Stellantis is very clever because they get access to that Chinese technology. And in many ways, it reminds me of what the Chinese names did originally, which was to do joint ventures with Western car makers. How interesting that all these years later, it's now the other, you know, the Western, the global car makers needing those joint ventures for a transfer of technology in the opposite direction. I find it fascinating. There you go. I'm going to do 10 minutes on 16, so I'll stop now. I find this partnership between Leapmotor and Stellantis a significant milestone in the global electric vehicle market. And if you, like me, are fascinated by these kind of things that no one else is talking about, but I think changed for so much, for so many people, the kind of cars that we get to buy, the prices that we pay, and the competitors that will have to lower their prices to compete, it is very interesting. Leapmotor have the tech. Stellantis has their extensive global network. And that alliance can be a worldwide partnership, disrupting the markets and setting new benchmarks, particularly for affordability and also for the high-tech stuff that you get at that price. It highlights the importance of collaboration in moving the move to electric vehicles forward. And by introducing very competitive high-tech EVs to a wide range of consumers through your existing dealerships, factories, servicing, and that kind of stuff, has the potential to accelerate the global move to electric vehicles. And for that, it's got to be a good thing. It's a significant force in shaping the future of the car industry. As this venture unfolds, I will certainly be watching it very closely to see how it influences the pace and direction of the EV industry globally. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Let me know what you think about this deal. Would you buy a Leapmotor, as it's a Stellantis, effectively, relationship that you'll be having or not? Let me know. You go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. You can comment on this podcast. You'll see bonus podcast. Then you'll see the title of this. Leave a comment. Have a conversation with me about what's on your mind. And I love to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.